I was growing up, and still to this day, that I have some kind of attention deficit disorder. Who laughed? I heard a snicker. I don't know if I do or not. But as soon as Scott sung the one song tonight, 176, my mind stopped and started going down another path. I remember where I was when I first heard this hymn. A friend of mine invited me to a revival, and I'd been raised in church, and then there was a big gap of not being in church, and then I got saved, and then I was kind of thrust back into church, and I'd not heard. Let's just be honest, I really didn't care much for the hymns when I was growing up, and I didn't care much for them. When I first got saved, I was kind of like, had to learn them, you know, because like the language in them and everything. So it was, I remember where I was when I first heard this. And now I'm not, you know, I'll fly away, just catch you right away. But I wanted to read this. I mean, and the reason I'm reading, don't think, I'm guilty of this myself. But sometimes we can handle this stuff, and we handle it like it's no big deal. You know what I mean? We just handle it. And it's like, we got it, you know. And I'm the same way. Sometimes I don't even hear. I'm like, I'm so focused on my message or focused on what's next that I miss, you know. And I was sitting there, and God just kept saying, go back and look at that real close. And I want y'all to look with me on an old account settled long ago, verse 176. You don't have to go there if you don't want to. But can I just read this to you, see if this makes sense to you? Because this got me in the third, what do you call that? Thank you, Ray. When at the judgment bar, I stand before my king, and he, the book, will open. He cannot find a thing. Then will my heart be glad, while tears of joy will flow, because I had it settled and settled long ago. I mean, I know, I can go on about me, but I just want you to know, like, you think about every sin that you've ever committed. Saved, before you got saved, and to have the God of the universe who knows everything open up a book and say, I can't really find anything against you. But you are going to... I just wonder sometimes. I mean, I'm not being critical of you. I'm being critical of myself. Even on a Wednesday night, coming here, we miss how big God's been in our lives sometimes. Because when an old account, I remember when an old account was, man, and here's another side of this whole thing. I know what it is to owe people and not want to pay them back. Amen? And you try to avoid and hee-haw around and not settle up. And man, I really didn't want to settle up with God. But man, thank God we did. Amen. Whew. I don't know about you, but that kind of gets me. We're going to go back. I want to give you the verse. I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry, but somebody said something to me a couple of weeks ago, and it caught my ear. They said, I preach a lot on Sunday, and then I come back and I kind of reteach it on Wednesday. And man, that thing stuck in my mind, you know, because sometimes, I don't know if you understand this or not, on Sunday when we come in here, God turns the juice on. I mean, and a lot of the stuff that I study throughout the week, I mean, it just, and I want to say it, but God's like, no, you got to get to these points, you know. But then he slows me down and shows me, like on Wednesday night, we can come back in here and we can really focus on some of this stuff. So we're going to focus maybe on two trees, but for sure one, because there's a lot of information there. And while we're here tonight, I want you to focus on two things. One, this being an examination of your salvation. If you're saved, great. Number two, use this as a tool to minister to somebody that questions their salvation. Can I be really honest with you? When you question their salvation. Okay, is that better? Because there's some people that question their salvation, and then there's sometimes when we see people that we really care about, and we wonder why certain things are going on in their lives. I want to use this right here to kind of you're not going to be the one who's saying you're definitely not going to be like I can show you right here where, what you're going to say is maybe they need the gospel presented to them more often. Amen. I had a life insurance salesman. And I had life insurance for 4 years through Providence Ministries. And the same guy who gave us our life insurance every single year would bring this little red crystal thing and he would hand it to me and he'd go, I'd like to share the gospel with you. I'm like, okay. The first year I was like, okay, brother. And he shared the gospel with me. And the next year he comes and he's like, I'm going to do our life insurance, but I want to do something here. And he takes out the red thing and he hands it to me. And I'm like, okay, you know. And he shares the gospel with me. And then the third year, I'm saved, brother. He goes, I know, but it's just what I do. He said, I don't think you can overshare the gospel. Amen? I guarantee you, I ain't forgot it. He shared it everywhere. But you know what? That redundancy, I know it seems, but I'm telling you, it works. And if you ever ask, you know, that's the best place to do. All right? So Psalm 1 is where we got this from. Verse 3. And then we're going to jump all the way to John chapter 15. Okay, so we're going to read this verse out of Psalms 1 and verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And if you'll remember, if you were here Sunday morning, I said, like a tree. He did not say what kind of tree. And I said, there's four kinds of trees that I would like to be as a Christian. And the first one we talked about was being a fruit tree. Amen? Well, there's more to it than just being a fruit tree. There's just more to it than just saying, okay, I want to be a fruit tree. You know? There's more to it. There's more to it than produce it. Like, the biggest thing as a Christian, as a pastor, and as somebody who's been an evangelist and preached the gospel for the last 13, 14 years, and I'm saying like 3-4 times a week, we like to preach, and a lot of times we'll get into ruts of preaching about sin. Don't drink. Don't lie. Don't have sex outside of marriage. Don't look at pornography. Don't murmur, don't complain, don't go, you know what I'm saying? And those are things like, I mean, we're constantly, and if you've been in church any amount of time in your life, you've heard this, right? And it's constantly, you're hearing, don't drink, don't chew, don't hang out with those that want to do, right? And all that different thing, right? But as I'm getting more in line with the Word of God, I realize I can tell you not to sin until my face falls off. But if you never get saved, you're not going to stop. Do you know how many times I wanted to stop before I got saved? A lot. You know how many times I'd go to church and fall under conviction and know that's the truth. And then a month go by and go, that's the truth. But man, and how many times I said, I'll never do that again. Have you ever, is there any, oh, don't, please don't answer that question. Has there ever, I'll never, ever, ever do that again. Whatever. And even as a Christian, you got strongholds? Strongholds? I'll never, right? I thought I'd get rid of them out of my 30s, right? Some of them strong. Oh, gosh, I ain't going to preach on those the whole time. John chapter 15, verse 1. There's more to it than just wanting to be a Christian, being a Christian, a fruit tree. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Y'all see that? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Are these three things important? I don't think we say this enough. If you are any of these three, you are important to God. You're valuable. You're loved. You're thought about. You're taken care of. You're looked after. Amen? God is the husband. God owns the field. God is the investor. Amen? He's the one. He loves the field. There's nobody who loves you more than God. If you're a saved person, God looks at his field and he goes, those are mine and I love them. And I would do whatever it takes to get those to produce at the highest level, some 30, some 60, some 100, right? I'll do whatever it takes. Even give my son who becomes the vine, right? The true vine. Now look, the importance is the field owner is important, the most important, because he is the first investor. Then you have the vine. Without the vine, you don't have a farm. You don't have nothing. You don't have no substance. You don't have nothing to draw from. So the next most important thing, which is drawn into the Father, is the Son, who is the vine. But then he says, then there's the branches. And this should scare you. I've been seeing, and I'm going to add a lot of this stuff to this message because you need to hear it, and I need to hear it. He said, those branches do belong to God. But he said, if they don't produce fruit, I'll cut them off. You can shorten your life as a believer, I believe that, by totally being out of the will of God. You can also be chastened of God. Whew. Now, I've been seeing this for the last, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 years, and I'm being honest with you, I see this a lot as a Christian, as a preacher. I got this view instead of this view that you have. I see a lot of people who God has really got a hold of. When you preach to them, they're like in a tractor beam. I grew up on sci-fi movies. Like, being in a tractor beam means, you know, the mothership has locked onto your ship and she's pulling you in. Okay, y'all good? Best way to illustrate that. Okay, in a service, there are times where I see certain individuals on a regular basis, they get around what I call the God thing and it comes on. And they're in. They're leaning in. All their friends could be cutting up. They could be doing whatever. And they're just like, and they can't explain it. And they're hearing and they're knowing and they're like, yes, yes. And I've seen several over the years who even respond. I'm going to do a Bible study. I'm going to do something. I mean, they just can't help it. Can I pull this back down to where I was when I was 8 years old? Every time I got around the God thing, something would happen. I'd stand up and testify. And they're like, are you a Christian now? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what that means. There was something in me. But with those same people, the minute they walk out of here, they can go polar opposite. Y'all good? Maybe not just a minute after, but next month they're hosting a party. Does that make sense? They won't come to church. They're on Instagram or Facebook or social media, and you see all kinds of craziness, and you're like, wait a minute, just 2 weeks ago they were here and God was working on them, and they, you know, do you understand what I'm saying? Well, I've seen that, and what I see in that is God is working on them and he's trying to change them, but if they keep doing that, God will not go along with that. And if they're saved, he is a correcting father. He will chastise those who belong to him. And I'm starting to see now, as years go by, that they're wondering why they've got so much trouble and chaos in their bodies and their lives and their finances and their families, because guess what? When they had that opportunity, they kept going back and forth and they were unstable in all their ways. And God finally said, look, you either choose me or you choose the world. I know there's some people in here, he'll correct you. And we can blame it on the devil if we want to, but we could realize I can take you to several times in my life where I knew it would be better if I go with God here, but I didn't. Amen? But ultimately, since I've been saved, I can see those times, and I'm telling you right now, every single time I choose to go with God. Because I know now. I don't care if everything looks crazy. You'll ruin your life. I've heard that. You'll ruin your life. I would rather ruin it. Because God didn't go that way. If I don't have any life at all, but I can see the finger of God, saying go that way. Amen? I hope this is making sense to you, because I see this. Even in our church, I see this. I see it. And I'm sitting there going, man, I wish this individual, these groups, would just turn their whole heart and mind into God and go after him, because if they don't, life's going to be hard. Because it's hard on me. It'll be hard on, and some of you in this room know it's been hard on you. Amen? But I want you to see this. Verse 3. No, now you are clean to the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Man, you know, this is crazy. Because a lot of times in church, we're asking people to do something. Well, what we should be asking them to do is get saved. Because what's got to happen is God's got to hook you up to him. Like, I wish y'all could see this. I'm about to show you something that I didn't see until a couple of days ago. But I want you to see this. He said, if I am in you and you are in me, then I'll abide in you and fruit will come out. Listen, you can't be a Christian if Christ is not hooked up to you. It's coming through Christ. It's coming through the root to the branch. Okay? So guess what? There's the problem. We will never run into somebody. If you ever run into somebody who says, well, I got Jesus, but I totally disagree with everything that he says and everything that he does. It's impossible. It's virtually impossible. Because the person that makes you a Christian is Christ. And the minute you get hooked onto the vine, no, let me rephrase it. When you get hooked on the vine, things change. I almost said, the moment you get hooked into the vine, everything changes. That's what I was about to say. That is not true. Amen? But when you get hooked into the vine, you know that things have changed. Understand? Does that make more sense to you? Because I want to get that. I'll give you two things that change automatically. Your desire to know more about him. That was one of the biggest ones of me. I mean, I've told you this, and you've probably, the Word of God automatically becomes like the greatest food you've ever had. It's like, wow. I mean, that's what the Word of God, because you know that's his word. Number two, y'all want number two is? Yeah, in a way different way. You know what I mean? You love people the right way. I mean, you're just like, you know, people, I heard somebody say today, somebody you can't stand, you just don't like them, and they don't like you, and you don't, and they get on, they drive every nerve you got. But guess what? And when it boils right down to it, God says, hey, do this for them, or, you know, tolerate them, learn how to love them. You will. You will. Right? I guarantee you, Jesus in his flesh, hanging on that cross, didn't look out at everyone and go, man, Lord, forgive them. Father, they know what to do. He wouldn't look at, man, some of these guys are all, every one of them, I just love them like, no. His flesh going, man, that guy right there, you know. He blindfolded, smacked me, like kept hitting me in the face. I know exactly who he is, but forgive him too. You know what I mean? That kind of love, right? That kind of love. That comes from God. And let me go a little bit further. Now, this thing works like this. Once you get hooked up to God, whatever is in your sin capability, God, I just made that word up. Whatever you love to do in your flesh, whatever makes this feel good, you hate that worse than anybody else does. That happens really quick, too. That don't mean you're going to stop. Don't be mad at me after church about that one. You will. Slow down. You won't, but man, you're going to be the one that hates it the worst. You won't have to know, but nobody will ever have to say, you better not do that. You're sitting there going, man, I don't want to do that. That disappoints God. That gives me guilt and shame and regret, and it's hard to carry. Right? I started thinking about this, and I wanted y'all to see it. But there's an even greater process for us in this room. Now, when I say us, I'm kind of like jumping ahead of myself. Is there any Orthodox Jews in here? Okay, good. It's us then. All right. Y'all can laugh. It's all right. That was my big joke for the night. So it's terrible, isn't it? Romans chapter 11, it's even more. It's even when he was talking to the disciples, he was talking to 11 Jewish men. And he was literally talking to the Jewish nation. And he was talking about, you know, you're going to be the vine. Or I'm going to be the vine, and you're going to be the branches, and you're going to produce fruit, right? He wasn't even talking to us in that part there. They are the branches. Amen? They are the branch. I'm going to show you that in Romans chapter 11. In verse 11, it starts it there. They are the branches. God loves the Jewish people. They're his chosen people. Still to this day. Amen? If you got a problem with Jewish people, you got a problem with God. I'm just being honest with you. You do. He said, pray for them. Bless them. Bless those who bless them. Curse them who curse them. I feel sorry for people who are trying to go about that the wrong way. But I want to show you something. It's even more difficult, not difficult, but different for us. And I'm going to kind of show this to you tonight. There's a different process for us to become fruit trees. Whew. All right? Y'all got to stay with me because I studied on this for a while. So, for if that which was done, verse 11, away with the glorious, much more which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, is that right? No. Sorry. I was still in 2 Corinthians. If I don't laugh about it, I'm going to cry, okay? So y'all just stay with me. Romans 9, Romans 11, chapter 11. Somebody saying amen to that ADHD stuff, yeah? Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you. I say then, have they stumbled? Is that it? Thank you. Amen. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Okay, y'all see that? Why are we in? To bring them to jealousy. Because they've stumbled in their belief of the Messiah. They did not accept Christ, but that is ultimately God's plan. That doesn't lessen who the Jewish people are, but it does magnify the fact that we got in just to bring them to jealousy. Amen? I want y'all to see that. Now look, verse 12. Oh, God, this is going to be so good. If y'all, I'll go through the hard parts and stumble all over the place to get to where we're going. Verse 12, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? You know what he's saying right there? One day, God is so good. He said, if their stumbling brought you into faith, and you know how your testimony is, right? Golly, you know how your testimony is, right? I don't know if you know or not. Man, if you really get down to your testimony, how you got saved, it's a big deal, right? Well, one day he said, when the Jews get saved, it's going to be a big deal. They're going to run, listen, they're going to run for their lives. Oh, golly. They're going to run for their lives. They're going to hide from the end of the world. They're going to run into caves. And guess what? Somebody has already placed the gospel there. Oh, there are going to be men who are sealed in their forehead who are going to preach the gospel. And guess what? There are going to be millions and millions of Jews on the run for their lives who are going to say, we believe. And about that, I mean, they're going to come out of the mountains and the hills believing in Jesus. And the world is going to be like, whoa. And then God's going to be like, whoa. And he's going to step out in the eastern sky. And we're all going to be, it's going to be like, the battle is now on because it is complete. The branches, God, y'all got to get it. The branches have come back to the tree. And all of us branches are like, hallelujah. It's been good, but we're glad to see you come back. Amen. Y'all, is that not good? That's not what the good part for is. I want to show y'all. It's, I just got caught up. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles insomuch I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify my office. He said, I'm magnifying my ministry here. I'm telling you what I do, right? He goes, I'm telling you, if anybody knows it's me, I'm telling you what's going on, right? Check this out. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are of my flesh and might save some of them. He said, I'm doing everything I possibly can through you to get to them. Amen? I will preach and run and exhaust my life because if you get saved, praise God, maybe one of them will get saved. My people, oh, some of y'all. Man, it's prying some stuff out of you. It's like prying out. Hey, get busy working on other people and let God save somebody you love. Oh, never. We get so caught up, oh, so-and-so ain't never going to get. Man, praise God, that ain't my business. My business is to plow where God has told me to plow, and praise God, He can save them. At least that's what I'm hoping. You got anybody you really want to be saved, but it just seems like they won't listen to you? Reach for everybody else. You know what? Oh, I could go on. Verse 15. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, that shall be received of them be, but life from the dead. Verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches holy. You know what he's saying? He said, praise God, everything comes from the root. Amen? It's going to come through the root. Everything you are as a Christian comes from the root. Remember when I was telling you over there in John 15, you can't be a Christian unless it comes through the vine, right? That's why we keep trying to tell people to act like a Christian. Well, they can't because they're not one. They got to get hooked up to the root. When you get hooked up to the root, you don't act like one, you just be one. Amen? And even in your worst failure, that's the way I believe. Even in my worst failure, I am one. And that's one thing God has given me clearly. I don't know if you got it or not. I hope you do. I've got eternal salvation, and God reminds me of that. I am His. And man, every time I fall short, man, I'll go to God, and I'll cry, and I'll cry, and I'll cry, and I'll bring up stuff, and God says, I've forgiven you that. Move on. I've chastised you that for that. Move on. Have you ever got a good whooping from your dad or your mom and you kind of shell-shocked to go around them? All right, have you ever give your kids a whooping and notice they've been shell-shocked? What are you trying to do as a parent? You're trying to move on past that. You don't have to fear me. Just don't do what you were doing that broke up the relationship. You can trust being around me. I love you. I'm over what I did. I did that because I love you. Oh. Amen? Whew. That's God. God says, I will correct you. But guess what? Get over that. I love you still. Oh, man. Whew. I could preach on that for a couple of days. Verse 7, y'all ready? Man, this is where I come to preach. I mean, this right here is why I came to preach. I want to be a fruit tree. That's what I want to be, a fruit tree. This is it right here. And if some of the branches be broken off, that's the Jewish people, and thou being a wild olive tree, underline that, that's who you are. You wild olive tree, you wild animal olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Golly, Bob. No, listen, you got to get this before you leave here tonight. God, while you were just a sapling, amen, you were hooked up to a wild olive tree. And that everything that was coming out of the roots of that olive tree was against God. Amen? Let me put it this way. Nobody ever taught you how to sin. It just came natural. Amen? And you were hooked up to this wild olive branch. And you're just over there and you're just wild. You don't care about nobody but what you're doing. And you know, you're just growing, eating in sunshine. And all of a sudden, somebody presents the gospel to you. Then God brings conviction. And then you repent and ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. God, y'all got to get this. I hope y'all love this kind of stuff. Then God cuts you off. Woo! He cuts you off your old tree. God, y'all better get this because this is the way it was for me too. He cuts you off of your old olive branch. I guarantee you, this was 2004, 2005 for me. And God takes you off of that thing. And you, now for a period of time, you are like, who in the world am I? Right? Because you are no longer wild olive. Let me just say it the way I want to say it. You are no longer the wild child. Okay? You're no longer the wild bunch. God's got you. And he's bringing you. Can you see it yet? You're up there and you're just hanging up in the air. Where are we going, God? God, there, is this good? We going to heaven? Because we better, because I'll jack this thing up if we don't. Right? Oh, take me on home, Lord. I'm not taking you on home. I'm just... Y'all ain't helping me. Listen, I'm not taking you home, but I'm taking you from the wilderness to the vineyard. The wilderness is a bunch of wild people doing whatever they want to do, growing any way they want to grow, doing whatever they want to do, eating whatever they want to eat, drinking whatever they want to drink, saying whatever they want to say. I'm taking you to a place where I'm in charge. Huh? Oh, man, I hope y'all get this stuff. And he's just carrying, can you see yourself yet? I mean, you're just that wild. Maybe your hair is two different colors. Ha! Sorry. Maybe your outfit's just a little bit different than church folks' outfit. You see it yet? You see yourself? Anybody looking at you? Because the vineyard people been there for a while. Even them wild olives branches before. They act like they wouldn't. No, Betty, I see you. Acting like you wasn't ever wild, but boy, boy, boy. Bud, I see you back here. Been in church a while now, but I bet you when God brought you in that vineyard, never mind. I could hear a little steel guitar off an old. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry. Sorry, bud. So don't be mad at me. But you're bringing in there, you see. They bring you in there and see what he does. And he goes to the vine. Not a secondary vine, not a third vine, not some other part of the vine. He takes you to Jesus and starts tying you in to Jesus. No, come on, man. He ties you in. You don't even know what to say. You don't even know how to act. You're God's tying. Who is it? God's tying you in. Not somebody else. Not my mom and them. God. Well, I don't belong. Well, he put me here. You didn't. He grafts you. To graft in means he's got to open up the vine. I didn't even see that. He's got to open up the vine. He's got to wound the vine and get your wound and put you together. I didn't even see that. We just like to probably, we're just going to get stuck on Jesus. No, you can't get stuck on him. You got to get stuck in him, and he got to get stuck in you. And then the process begins, right? Golly, the process begins. All of a sudden, Jesus juice, God, the Holy Ghost starts coming in, and you don't even know what, I don't know what to do. I don't know these words. I used to hate this, and I love this, and who I was, man, on the outside, I still look like a wild branch, but man, I'm hooked up to Jesus. And you won't even have one fig on you for a good long while. And man, everybody on that thing is going to be looking at you. Wonder where they got him at. I wonder where we got her. Huh. I bet she's got a story to tell. Barely a leaf on her. Oh, golly, y'all. just a branch left. Ain't much there. Golly, I'd like to tell my story, amen. when he brought me in, they wasn't much. Well, I ain't going to get much out of that one. Oh, wait. You seeing me when I come in the door, not when we're leaving. Amen? It ties you up. Amen? And all of a sudden, you start grafting in. And after a while, you can't tell that you've been grafted in. Amen? Because you just look like you've always been, because he's in you and you're in them. But I want to. I'm telling you tonight, for your help, for you to help other people, there has to be a time where when you were a wild olive branch, God took you from the wild olive branch and hooked you up on Jesus. And when you got hooked up to Jesus, you might not have known everything, but you were a different creature. Because you were growing in a different place. Saying different things, doing different things, eating different things, drinking different things, saying different things, hearing different things. And then all of a sudden, somewhere in your life, as a believer, bloop, I don't know if it was 1 or 20 or 30, but a fig tree produces figs. And somebody says, I believe you might be a fig tree. I think you are a Christian because I seen where you got hooked up a few years ago and I didn't really know what to think about it, but now you are producing fruit. What is fruit? You want souls to be saved. You want lives to be changed. You want other people to get what you have, period. And that's where we're going to end tonight, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I think we need to make this, especially for our younger people in our church. And I'm not saying just our youth. I'm talking about all the way down to the 5 and 6 and 7 years old. I think we need to do this on a regular basis for them. This needs to be the litmus test for our young people. And it needs to be the litmus test for us. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Never mind. I ain't going to tell you what to do. You just pray about it. But listen to this. Therefore, if... Big word right there, right? If. What does that mean? Examine. Look. Find out. Right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Right? Old things are passed away. Old things are... Listen to this. If old things are not dying off and going away, we need to talk to them and say, look, you're trying to live your old way and say that you've had something new. Let's talk about the gospel. Let's talk about the gospel. I don't want to talk about your sin and why it's so wrong. Let's talk about what it really means to hear the gospel. You hear me? Because I can tell you that you're sinning all day long. But until you get Jesus, this right here don't make any sense. Listen, I love this. I love preaching this. Because this word right here means the world to me. It means the world to me right here. Old things are passed away. Listen to this next word. You know what the next word is? What is it? What does that word mean? Look. You know what? There's a big difference between look and listen. You hear me? Listen, I'll give it to you. Behold, all things are become new. If you truly get it, you won't have to tell nobody. It's just like that wild olive branch placed on the Jesus vine, right? He ain't got to say nothing, right? Listen, when I truly got saved, I used to tell people all the time, listen, no, golly, y'all don't, I can do this in recovery. It's hard to do here. When I've done this in recovery places, I could make grand speeches before I got saved. Listen, therefore, and behold, Kevin Graham Shelton has turned over a new leaf, and I'll no longer be behaving in the way that I behaved, and everything is new and changed, and glory be to you people who are going to reap the benefits of this new turn in my life. Mom, can I borrow $200? I will pay you back upon said payday. Right? You good? When I got saved, I told the person that I loved the most in my life, I don't know what has happened. I just need you to watch and see, because I got no words to explain what's going on in me. If you'll just wait and see, I believe you'll see it. But I've told you so many times that I'm going to do better and I'm going to be better, that all I can tell you now is, just look, things are different. Guess what? I'm a fruit tree. That's what a fruit tree does. It becomes a new creature and says, behold, all things have come new. You're just going to have to look and see, because I couldn't even tell you how it's going to go. Amen? That's what it means to be a fruit tree. Now see, I preached four trees on Sunday. One tree today. Get it? There's a lot of meat in there. I just wanted you to see it. That way when you're ministering to somebody and they say, well, I got Jesus, but I still like to do this. Jesus saved me, but he saved me where I can stay who I am. Listen, Jesus never saves anyone to leave them the way they are in any shape or form. He will save you to change you to glorify himself. Let's all stand as they come get a song.